Anastasia and left outside alone, something which probably wouldn't really be the case of leaving horses outside alone, or maybe it would, whatever. You can guarantee that if the legendary Carl Richards is involved, it'll be great for them. Carl, welcome to the programme. How are you keeping?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So, great for horses, as in GR84 horses, as in the numbers. Talk to us about it. How did you actually get into this whole field of equine care and training?
Well, I started when I was quite young, about 10 years of age. I had the first pony. And farming was always an ambition of mine. I travelled the country selling tack, sadly, all the auctions in the UK throughout. And also one or two in America as well. And they virtually, or that financed my love of horses, shall I say. I used to ride as a jockey, point to pointing. I also did quite a bit of hunting. And had a fairly selfish life doing the things I wanted to do. In that time, I got to know more and more about horses. And luckily, I found that horses would actually enjoy going for me. What I mean by that is that when riding or whatever, they would try their hardest for me without me having to put any pressure on them. And that developed into my beginning to breed. I acquired one stallion and I bred some others, and they became great friends. Many visitors come to my premises and they are all astounded at how friendly, safe and trustworthy every animal here is, and even ones I've sold, the same applies to.
Every horse clearly has its own personality, and just as every human being, every animal has its own particular personality. And I think you touched base on something which was really interesting there in terms of the success, whether horses would actually work for you, ride for your good self. It's a partnership, isn't it, between man and beast in every sense of the word?
It has to be. To be successful, one could never get a horse to jump 5 foot, 6 foot, whatever they do, or even gallop over 3 miles or the Grand National if the horse didn't want to do it.
And is that something that, in a sense, marks out the better trainers from the less able ones? I mean, I'm thinking, obviously, we're coming around to the Cheltenham Festival and so on. Is it a kind of standard, almost no-brainer, that actually the horses that feel as though they're cared for and appropriate and really want to perform, they'll do the business, whereas the others may not necessarily have that extra additional X factor?
Unfortunately, nowadays, with racehorses especially, because the industry has gone the way that it has, in many ways nowadays, racehorses are sort of factory trained or factory farmed. With the show jumpers and the like, eventers, it's a much more personal basis. When I used to be in a racing yard many years ago, and you had your three horses which you got up each day, groomed, mucked out, fed, and rode. Nowadays, they have a work rider to ride them, somebody else to muck them out, and then another person perhaps to groom them. It's just a different way of life altogether, and there's not much of a one-to-one in a racing yard, whereas show jumping, eventing, dressage, etc., absolutely totally different.
I've been looking at some of the YouTube videos that are actually up under Great for Horses, and I see I've got a whole range of things here in terms of a clever horse mucking his own stable out.
Yeah, a bit of a comedy, that one.
Yes, it's extraordinary. I'm particularly interested in, obviously, one which was a few years ago, the Independent Congressman Stallion. Indy, I think it's lined up as.
That's right, yes. Unfortunately, very sadly, because of the equestrian, shall I say, economic climate, he has now become a gelding.
It's a bit harsh, but never mind, obviously. I'm sure it was explained to him.
It's very harsh, but unfortunately people just are afraid of stallions. And totally unnecessarily, it's a rumour, if you like, or something that people think you mentioned the word stallion, and suddenly they move back out of the way. But I can show pictures of all my stallions with children on their back, as in toddlers, I don't mean just children, and they're absolutely totally safe. But they love people, they love dogs, and vice versa.
In terms of your own experiences, I mean, obviously there's a wealth of experience there, and you said that clearly we've become much more, I think you used the term factory farmed in terms of the way that horses and clearly the genetics and bloodlines are kind of critical from that point of view. Is it a bit like Premier League football, where you think there's too much money involved with this?
In the racing industry, that would definitely apply, and it's getting more so in other areas of equestrianism as well. Nowadays it's, well, a show jumper can be worth multi-millions of pounds. We've already got the £10 million racehorse or youngster, and we're going up with, especially with the Arab money and Kuwait money, and well, good horses are almost priceless. Whatever they're sport.
Very impressed, obviously, as over the years we've covered things such as both badminton, which of course is coming around in the very near future. Then of course we've got Burley, the horse trials, the Bramham, in terms of events from that perspective. In a real notion, it's good that the industry is becoming more popular, more positive. Again, I was a very late recruit to the sort of tremendous experience you can actually have with that. Is it a case of a balance between getting the right kind of horse, the right kind of owner, and obviously ensuring that clearly the equestrian industries across the base, I mean, you mentioned obviously eventing, horse racing, and so on, that they work together for the benefit of all?
To be totally successful, they have to. There is no choice. When you have the likes of Tony McCoy, who is probably the greatest jockey that's ever been born, he's totally devoted to horses, and he has to be to get what he does out of them. And the same with Nick Skelton, modern people, the Whittaker brothers, the Brooms, etc., and equally with... I can't think of the name now, but King, the eventing rider.
Claire King. Claire King?
No, not Claire King.
Oh.
I can't think of what I was saying.
Not to worry.
But yeah, she's had a multitude of horses with a King prefix.
Mm.
And again, this is a person that came up from nowhere. And again, very successful. But again, with that in that person, you have totally a one-to-one with the horse that she has. She is absolutely living and breathing the horse that she rides.
What advice, Carl, would you give to maybe a youngster listening to this who might be going to, I don't know, might be considering going off to the National Jockey School at Doncaster, they might be thinking of wanting to enter the industry, or indeed they want to have something to do with horses? Would you suggest taking an apprenticeship? What sort of routes forward are there for youngsters who want to follow into the industry?
That can be a very good thing. I think the most important thing of all is that one has to sort of be in a situation where one can have an opportunity of actually understanding the horse. Something totally off the subject, in a way. There is a place in Italy called San Patrigano Farm, and it's recognised as being the most successful drug rehabilitation centre in the world. And the reason, part of the reason for its success, is that the drug users are introduced to the animals and the care of them. And that just brings a different outlook on life for those people. Just by actually being with the animals, spending time with them, and living with them, shall I say, gives them a totally different outlook. When you actually get down to it, animals are very, very similar to people. Some people talk about intelligence, how lacking in intelligence animals are, dogs, cats, horses, cattle, everything. That's absolute rubbish. When you live with them and you understand them and they understand you, I often say to people that my horses talk to me, not verbally, but in their movements, in their actions. They ask me different things or tell me different things.
An awful lot of our sort of correspondents based over in the States, and in fact we regularly link up with Randy Reinholtz and Gene Bruce Scott from the Native Voices theatrical company over in San Diego. Now there is again a sense that clearly the Native American settler, the folk who were actually there before the colonies actually started in America, they kind of had it right. They sort of had this understanding of the harmony that you can get between nature, humanity, and the balance was actually there. Is this something which kind of crosses cultural boundaries, that it is a kind of human experience, or is there a distinct difference between what might be regarded as a horse whisperer in the States is something completely different in Europe, and so on?
No, it's the same. It's much the same the world over. When I first started riding racing pointing years ago, there was a chap out there called Henry Blake, and he was from this neck of the woods, a place called Santa Barbara. He was about 60 and I was probably about 19, 20. He actually wrote a book at the time called Talking with Horses. I think he had a follow-up saying called More Talking with Horses. And that was always a very great influence to me. And Monty Roberts is the new Talking with Horses book.
Which clearly shows that there's an awful lot of information we've lost or forgotten as the years have gone by, and it's important to folks such as yourself, Carl, that that's maintained. And again, as we look to the season, do you still get as excited when we're sort of approaching the whole notion of both the horse racing and indeed the eventing scenarios? Does it still give a sort of frisson of excitement to your good self?
Absolutely. Without doubt. It's a pleasure to watch good, successful horses.
That makes perfect sense. A reminder, of course, you can go to YouTube and actually just type in GR84 and then horses, as in GR84 horses, great for horses, and you'll find a whole range of videos and various other bits and pieces up from that point of view. Carl, I mean, we could talk for a whole, well, there's a series of sort of scenarios about sort of the input, and there's an awful lot I'd love to sort of talk to you about in terms of the way in which the horse industry is changing and evolving. But for the moment, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Definitely, yes. It's nice to be able to say well, I think things are, and hopefully somebody listen and treat horses a bit differently.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's I think it pays dividends in every sense of the word, because it's a bit like karma to a certain extent. If you good, I mean, I'll just cite for an example, and you might find this very trivial, but when I actually took up the challenge that one of our rural producers, Minty Steed, actually put forward of actually taking some polo lessons at Guards Polo Club, I simply sort of said to the Argentinian polo pony before I actually mounted, "Look after me," and I'm fairly sure that she did. So there we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was still not great at polo, and I wouldn't want to actually go competitive on it, but it was an experience, put it this way. That's the bottom line. Carl Richards, delights to touch base with good self. Hopefully then, second question, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Yes, please do anytime. It's a pleasure to spread my knowledge.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community, whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theatre in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. .podbean.com.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialize in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 308188 or visit our website, rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.